A wonderful hymn, lovely lyrics, very poetic, and great images as well. Let me pray for us in response to that hymn. Father, we thank you for your love for us in the Lord Jesus, more immense than we could ever comprehend. We thank you for the new life we have in him, the hope. And we pray you'd be with us now as we reflect on your word this day, on Mother's Day. Please teach us and encourage us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I might just get everyone to stand for 30 seconds, since we haven't been up and down with singing. We've been sitting for a long time, so it'd just be good to stand up, do a circle or two, and get the blood moving. Okay, that might help you stay with me. you might be wondering why the book of Joshua on Mother's Day. Good question. I considered breaking the series and doing something more Mother's Day-like, like in previous years, but then I realised we'd be focusing on Rahab in Joshua 2. Rahab may not be the most obvious choice for Mother's Day, but she is a significant woman in the Bible, and we can all learn some important lessons from her. So let's get underway. We'll turn this on. We're thinking about God leading us into his rest, Joshua 2 to 4. Let me begin with community fears. So here we are on Mother's Day, and COVID is back in the community, if it ever really left. COVID restrictions are frustrating for most, devastating for some, especially business owners who will miss out on another big payday, you know, today on Mother's Day, across this weekend. Just saw on the news, I think on Friday, of a fellow with a big restaurant who had a cancellation of 120 for Friday night. So things like that, disappointing and more. Perhaps there's renewed anxiety and fear, especially for those who live near case locations or have visited certain venues, you know, checking the list of venues and those 11 o'clock press conferences in the morning. There's also apprehension and fear in the community around vaccines, and in particular the serious side effects that we've all heard about. Fear is an emotion that we all understand. We know that mothers fear for their children, but it's not just mothers who fear. We all have deep-seated fears. And Joshua 2 has quite a bit to say about fear. In particular, fear of God and how we should respond to that fear. As I've already hinted, it's an unlikely woman, Rahab, who will show us the way. As we have heard read by Cheryl, thank you, Cheryl, chapter 2 of Joshua records the reconnaissance mission of two spies sent by Joshua into the land of Canaan. And I should point out that this is not the first mission of this kind. 40 years earlier, Joshua had been one of two spies who were sent into the promised land by Moses. You remember that in Numbers? 10 of the spies, not Joshua or Caleb, they were so gripped with fear by what they saw. They saw the fortified cities in the land and the military power of the nations that they refused to believe God's promise to give them the land. Their fear and unbelief spread throughout the people, and together Israel rebelled against the Lord. They would not obey the Lord's command to go in and take the land. And don't forget that this was the generation who had seen with their own eyes what the Lord had done to Pharaoh and his armies. They had experienced the Lord's power to save and give victory firsthand, yet they rebelled, and consequently that entire generation fell in the desert. They failed to enter into God's rest. But as we heard read, this second mission had a very different outcome. and for the most unlikely of reasons, the actions and words of a Canaanite prostitute would make all the difference on this occasion. Let's begin with Rahab's actions. Rahab opens her home to the Israelite spies. Rahab hides the spies from the king's messengers on the roof of her home, risking her own life. And her words, she puts her own life at even greater risk by lying to the king's messengers, saving the spies by sending their pursuers off on a false trail. But most importantly, what was motivating Rahab's actions and words? Well, listen again to what she says to the spies in verse 9. She says, "I know that the Lord has given you this land." Don't you think that's amazing that this Canaanite prostitute believes what the Exodus generation failed to believe? "I know that the Lord has given you this land." How can she be so sure? She didn't see what the Lord had done in the Exodus, but she heard. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. So again, this is quite amazing. The Canaanites have heard the gospel. Not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, but the Old Testament gospel, the momentous news that the Lord, the God of Israel, redeemed his people from Egypt and saved them from the hand of Pharaoh and his armies when they passed through the Red Sea. They have heard of their God-given victories over two nations that opposed them east of the Jordan. And how did they respond when they heard? Verse 11, "When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." The Canaanites fear the Israelites. Why? Because of their military power? No. Rahab tells us that they fear Israel because Israel's God is not just the God of Israel, he is the God of heaven and earth, and he has given Israel their land. So what do they do with their fear? Do they cry out to God for mercy? Do they repent of their sin? No. The king of Jericho sends his messengers to do away with the Israelite spies. They're going to fight. They're going to fight a fight they cannot win. It's like the classic kind of schoolyard mismatch. You know, the small little kid with the chip on the shoulder who wants to take on the big guy, and you know how it's going to end. The lightweight versus the heavyweight, no contest. It's that kind of schoolyard foolishness here, but on a grander scale. The king of Jericho and his armies is going to take on the God of heaven and earth. Sin makes us so foolish. Why do we think that we can defy God and get away with it? I mean, we don't fear God anymore. We used to have a society that feared God, but that seems to be a thing of the past, and we are reaping the consequences. Rahab teaches us the wise response. Knowing that the Lord is God and that he has given the land to his people, she wants in. She doesn't want to be on the wrong side of God. She doesn't want to fight against God. She wants in. She repents. Her allegiance is now to the Lord and his people, not to her king. Her actions and her words make that very clear. Rahab also cries out for mercy in verses 12 to 13. Here's her plea. "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And so she is saved. In chapter 6, as we'll see next week, Rahab and her family will be more than saved from death. They will be saved to enjoy rest within Israel for the rest of their days. What a gift to her mother, that is, and to the rest of the family. So, as promised, Rahab teaches us some really important lessons today. First and foremost, we learn that God's rest is available to all people. It's not about race or ethnicity. If Rahab the Canaanite can be saved, then how much more can people from all the nations be saved today when they make Jesus their number one allegiance? Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved, promises the New Testament. And praise God, we see that throughout our world. The nations are turning to Christ. Even in our own city and suburbs, the nations are turning to Christ. We don't need any more evidence than the election of our new Archbishop, Kanishka Rafael, a Sri Lankan man, formerly Buddhist, now the Archbishop of Sydney. God's grace extends to all people. God's not just for the Israelites. Even a Canaanite woman can be saved when she turns to the Lord. Rahab also teaches us that salvation is not about morality. If Rahab the prostitute can experience God's kindness and be saved to enjoy rest with his people, then how much more can sinners experience God's kindness in Jesus today? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, even the worst of sinners. So no matter what we have done, no matter what others might have done to us, salvation is available to us in Christ. He can give us rest for our souls, washing away our guilt and shame. And can I just add a brief word here to the mothers here on Mother's Day, or to those who may listen later online? I think mothers at times can be very hard on themselves. They can feel like they're not doing a good job. They may feel overwhelmed at times, or worried, or anxious, or guilty even, or fearful. But remember Rahab. Remember how far from perfect she was. God's kindness extended to her. His grace in Jesus overflows to you. Lastly, on Rahab, again, the New Testament holds her up as an example of faith that works. So in James chapter 2, she's an example of faith that works. We know that faith that's kind of simply ticks the box, you know, confesses the truth, you know, I believe in God, tick. I believe Jesus died on the cross, tick. I believe he died, you know, for me, tick. That kind of dead faith the New Testament talks about, just ticking the box, is not what Rahab had. She had a living faith that displayed itself in action. She showed her faith in God was real by hiding the spies in her own home at great risk to herself. It's unlikely that you and I will ever have to do anything like this, but we can show our faith in God is real in a multitude of ways. Like Rahab, we can care for God's people. She cared for the Israelites. We can care for God's people, Jesus' people, the church, as a priority. And at times, we do that at cost to ourselves. We can love all people. Today, on Mother's Day, I want to give you an opportunity, if you would like to. We have an opportunity through Anglican Aid to show our faith that works by giving to the Anglican Aid appeal for COVID relief in India. It's an emergency appeal. Anglican Aid is responding to the COVID-19 crisis in India by supporting Herbert Poor Christian Hospital with essential supplies and equipment. We have received urgent requests for help to provide equipment like ventilators, monitors, PPE kits, and food for the COVID patients. So on Mother's Day, here's an opportunity to put our faith into action. This is something like you'd like to do as a gift today. I have these posters. There's one at the door on the way out. There's one on the table outside. The QR code is there if you'd like to give a gift. There's an opportunity for us to do that today on Mother's Day. Let me finish with this, that God is present to lead his people through Jordan. Being fully assured that God will fulfill his promise to us is so important. In Joshua chapter 4, which we don't have time to look at today, I want to keep moving and not look at that in detail. In chapter 4, we see how God is with his people to lead them into the promised land. Just as God was with Moses to lead them through the Red Sea, so God is with Joshua to complete his plan to bless his people, leading them into Canaan. There's a parallel, Moses, Joshua, through the Red Sea, through the Jordan, into the promised land. The God of heaven and earth is fully able to fulfill his promise to give his people rest. And this ought to increase our trust in God, who has made a big promise to us as well. God has promised to bring us through this life, through all the trials and the temptations of life that we will face, through the hardships that we will experience, even through death. He has promised to lead us into our heavenly inheritance. We heard those wonderful words read by Rob from 1 Peter, where God in his mercy has given to us who belong to Jesus new birth into a living hope. And even though we will have to face trials of various kinds, through those trials we are, and I quote from 1 Peter, shielded by God's power. God is our shield. We have a shield with us as we go through life, almost like a force field. So as we come under attack through trial or temptation or hardship or whatever trouble we may have, God acts as our shield to protect us. So even if the worst of our fears, coming back to this theme of fear, even if our worst of fears were to become a reality for us in life, God's promise is that he will bring us through. Here is another woman who is an example to us in this, the Australian Mother of the Year 2021, Leila Abdullah. Think of what she has been through in terms of trial and hardship. You know, that's talk about your worst of fears becoming a reality. Yet, the Lord has been her shield. She's continued and persevered in her faith in the Lord. She's not getting through it by her own strength. We won't get right through life by our own strength. God will bring us through. Not because we are strong, not because we are faithful, not because we are obedient, but because God is with us. He is our shield. He is our fortress. He will lead us through life, even through the worst of trials, until we enter into our heavenly rest. So I hope that's an encouragement for you all today, not just to the mums, but to each one of us. As the great old hymn puts it, and I'll end with this, and actually we'll hear the hymn afterwards. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs and praises I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. You know that hymn? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Mark, you able to play that for us now, please?